Our Father, in the name of Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, and every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear, we believe and receive the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. We thank you, Father, we give you praise for we know it's done. For in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You can take a seat. Isaiah 63 verse 9. It says, not the affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bore them and carried them all the days of old. Now we have begun a study on human pain and suffering. Why is there evil in the world today? And why does it seem like God doesn't do anything to stop it? Is God unbothered when we suffer? We said no. We said that the idea of an absentee God is foreign to the Bible. God is not absent when his people suffer. He is right there feeling their pain. God is an empath, which means he feels pity. When an only son died in Nain, Jesus felt pity. At the funeral, he cried. So we have a God who can be touched by human suffering. He is not unbothered, indifferent when we suffer, and he desires to save and rescue. Then we moved on to see the origin of sin in the world. Evil does not originate from God. 1 John 1:5, it says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So nothing dark, malicious, or sinful is found in God. Evil is a consequence of man's sin. God made man and gave him authority over the earth, but man misused that authority in sinning and brought sin and death into the world. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It says, through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin. Now, this is the cause of all the evil that we find in the world today. God is not behind it. We said Jesus reveals God perfectly to us. Is God's image, icon, is that word, is express image, character, and his word, logos. So to know what God is like, we look to Jesus. Jesus never caused evil, he reversed it. He never made sick, he healed. He never made poor, he provided. Jesus never caused death, he raised to life, showing to us what God is like. God would not do what Jesus would not do. Jesus is his exact expression, representation to man. We said there is a third actor here when it comes to evil, the devil, who usurped man's authority and uses it for malicious ends. So man, sin, and the devil are the cause of evil in the world today, not God. Now pick up from there, still looking at where is God in the midst of my pain. Now today we would like to examine the question, does God punish with evil? So are you ready? Okay, thank you. Now when people talk about evil, they sometimes attribute it to God's retribution. That is, God is punishing men for his sins. That is why evil is present in the world. You know, some have said that natural disasters in certain countries is God's judgment on them for their rejection of him. Now, how accurate is this? We want to find out, okay? Now, we'll be examining this under three separate headings. Now, heading number one, God is not vengeful. God is not vengeful. The Bible does not portray God as vindictive, someone who seeks revenge, vengeance. You see, the right from Genesis, we see God quick to forgive. Even after Adam and Eve sinned, he made tunics to cover them. Genesis 3 verse 21. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. You know, a God who is vengeful would not do this. Now, throughout the scriptures, his forgiving nature is emphasized. He is always ready to forgive. Psalm 86, verse 5. It says, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive. Underline that, ready to forgive. And abundant in mercy. Underline that as well, abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. He forgives iniquities. Psalm 103, 103. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. Underline that. Who heals all your diseases. He does not give people what they deserve. Psalm 103 verse 10. It says, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. He does not hold grudges even when wronged. Psalm 130 verse 3. It says, if you, Lord, should mark iniquity, O Lord, who can stand? but there is forgiveness with you that you may be fed. It remains gracious even when offended. Nehemiah 9 verse 17. They refused to obey, friend to the Jews, and they were not mindful of your wonders that you did among them. But they hardened their necks, and in their rebellion, they appointed the leaders to return to their bondage. But your God, ready to pardon, underline that, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, underline that as well, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. It does not remember or punish sins. Isaiah 43 verse 25. It says, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. It pardons abundantly. Isaiah 55 verse 7. It says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Underline that. He overlooks transgression. Micah 7 verse 18. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over, underline that, passing over or overlooking, the Hebrew says, the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. Verse 19, that same chapter. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Jesus says forgiveness must be endless. Matthew chapter 18 verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. Now the phrase 70 times 7 is figurative. It means endlessly. Now if man is expected to forgive this way, endlessly, how much more God? God will not ask us to do what himself does not do. God is never pleased when the sinner perishes. Ezekiel 18 verse 31, it says, cast away from you all your transgressions which you've committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies. Underline that, from I to dies, says the Lord God. Therefore turn and leave. Ezekiel 33 verse 11, similarly there, say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, underline that, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? So God is merciful, kind, and forgiving. He does not hold grudges against those who hate him. Now the next heading here would be, sin is self-destructive. Okay, now before man sinned, God already told him the consequences of his actions. Sin would bring death. Genesis 2 verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. Now sin has its penalty in itself. In Genesis 3, we see a series of curses come upon creation because of sin. First, on the devil, verse 14, that same chapter. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you've done this, you're cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. Also on the woman, verse 16. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then on the man, verses 17 to 19, it says, then to Adam it said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. And the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Now we must not view these curses as God's retribution. They are merely consequences of man's action. I've taught you that before, right? Okay. God does not have to punish sin. In sin itself is its own punishment. Romans chapter 6 verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sin will destroy the sinful man, not God." Proverbs 1 verse 30, it says, "The word of none of my counsel, but despise my every rebuke." Verse 31, "Therefore they shall eat the food of their own way," underline that, "of their own way, and be filled to the full with their own fences. And the turning away of the simple will slay them," underline that, "and the complacency of fools will destroy them," underline that, "will destroy them." Sin is what destroys men, not God. Now what about Bible text which says that God punished sin? Now thanks for bringing that up. Now this leads us to our third heading. How does God punish? Amen. How does God punish? Now notice that before people are punished for their sins, a warning is always given. This was the case right from Genesis chapter 2. Verses 15 to 17, that same chapter. "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat it, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." So God warned man ahead of time of the consequences of transgression. Now this pattern continues all through the scriptures. Notice that God would always send his messengers, the prophets, to warn his people against sinning. 2 Chronicles 36 verse 15, "And the Lord God of their fathers sent warnings to them by his messengers," underline that, "from sent to messengers, rising up early and sending them, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. Now it was when they rejected his warnings that disaster came on them." Verse 16, "But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed as his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord rose up against his people, till there was no remedy." Warnings always come first. Jeremiah 7:13, "But now because you've done all these works, says the Lord, and I spoke to you," on the line that I spoke to you, so a warning, "rising up early and speaking," okay, "through the prophets, you did not hear, and I called you," on the line that I called you, "but you did not answer. Therefore I will do to the house which is called by my name, in which you trust, and to all this place which I give to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I'll cast you out of my side, as I've cast out all of your brethren, the old posterity of Ephraim." Verses 23 to 26, that same chapter. "But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I'll be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I've commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts, and went backward and not forward." Verse 25, "Since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt until this day, I have even sent to you all my servants," underline that, from I to servants, "the prophets," underline the prophets, "daily rising up early and sending them, yet they did not obey me, nor incline their hair, but stiffened their neck. They did worse than their fathers." Jeremiah 11:7-8, "For I earnestly exhorted your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt until this day, rising early and exhorting," underline that, from rising to exhorting, "saying, obey my voice. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but everyone followed the dictates of his evil heart. Therefore I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but which they have not done." Jeremiah 25:3. "From the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, even to this day, this is the 23rd year in which the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken to you," on the line that I have spoken to you, "rising early and speaking," on the line that as well, "rising early and speaking, but you have not listened. And the Lord has sent to you all his servants," underline that, "the prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not listened nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, repent now on every one of his wicked way and his evil doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord has given to you and your fathers forever and ever. Do not go after other gods to serve them and worship them, and do not provoke me to anger by the works of your hands, and I will not arm you." Not permissive, okay? That is, allow you be armed. Verse 7, "Yet you have not listened to me, says the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger by the works of your hands to your own earth." Jeremiah 26:4. "And you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, if you will not listen to me to walk in my law, which I have said before you, to hear the words of my servants the prophets, whom I sent to you," on the line that whom I sent to you, "both rising up early and sending them, but you have not heeded, then I will make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse, not permissive, to all the nations of the earth. Jeremiah 44 verse 4. However, I have sent to you, underline that I have sent to you, all my servants the prophets, underline that as well, all my servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not do this abominable thing that I ate. But they did not listen, nor incline their hair to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense to other gods. So my fury and my anger were poured out and kindled in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, and they were wasted and desolate as it is this day. Cf. Jonah 1, 1-2, Jonah 3, 1-4, Ezekiel 3, 22, Ezekiel 33, 1-11. So we must therefore understand what God's punishment is. The God of the Bible is one who does not want sinners punished. Okay, that is the God that the scriptures portray to us. He does all that he can to stop their destruction. We've seen that so far. Now, several Hebrew words are used to describe God's punishment in the Old Testament. Now, let's run through them quickly as we close. Now, the first is Yasar, Y-A-S-A-R. Now, this word means to chasten. It occurs in Leviticus 26 verse 18 as we close. It says, and after all this, if you do not obey me, then I will punish. Underline punish, that's that word, you. Seven times more for your sins. Verse 28, that same chapter. Then I also will walk contrary to you in fury, and I, even I, will chastise you. Underline that chastise. Seven times for your sins. Psalm 38, verse 1. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath, nor chasten me. Underline chasten. That's that word. In your heart, displeasure. For your arrows pierce me deeply, and your hand presses me down. Now the next word is nakam. N-A-Q-A-M. Now this word means to take vengeance. It occurs in Psalm 99 verse 8. It says, you answer them, O Lord our God, you are to them God who forgives. El Nosei, literally in the Hebrew, that is the pardoning God. Though you took vengeance, underline that vengeance, that's that word, on their deeds. Ezekiel 24 verse 8, as we close, it says, that it may rise up fury and take vengeance, underline that take vengeance, that's that word. I have set our blood on top of a rock that it may not be covered. Nahum 1, 2, three times in that verse. It says, God is jealous and the Lord avenges, underline avenges, that's that word. The Lord avenges, underline avenges, same word, and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance, underline will take vengeance, same word, on his adversaries, and he reserves wrath for his enemies. The next word is nakah, N-A-K-A-H. Now this word literally means to smite. It was the word used for striking one with a weapon in ancient times. See 2 Samuel 2 verse 23. 2 Samuel 4 7, 2 Samuel 14 verse 6, 2 Samuel 18 verse 15, 2 Samuel 21 verse 17, 1 Kings 16 verse 10, 2 Kings 15 verse 30, 2 Kings 25 verse 21, 2 Kings 25 verse 25, Jeremiah 41 verse 2, Jeremiah 52 verse 27, or with the fist to bruise. See Exodus 2 verse 11, Exodus 5 verse 16. It also carried the idea of slaying or destroying. Now this word nakar is then used for God. God is said to smite nakar with diseases. Numbers 14 verse 12. It says, I will strike them, or the line strike, okay, with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. Deuteronomy 28 verse 22. It says, the Lord will strike you, on the line strike, with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fever, with a sword, with scorching, and with mildew. They will pursue you until you perish. Verse 27, that same chapter, the Lord will strike, underline strike, same word, you, with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, with the scab, and with the itch, from which you cannot be healed. Verse 28, the Lord will strike you, underline strike, with madness, and blindness, and confusion of heart. Verse 35, the Lord will strike you, underline strike, in the knees and on the legs with severe boils which cannot be healed, and from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. 1 Samuel 5 verse 6, but the hand of the Lord was heavy on the people of Ashdod, and he ravaged them and struck them with tumors, underline strike, both Ashdod and his territory. Amos 4 9, I blasted you, underline blasted, that's that word, with blood and mildew when your gardens increased, Your vineyards, your fig trees, and your olive trees, the locusts devour them. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. Haggai 2 verse 7-10, I struck you, underline struck, with blight and mildew and ill in all the labors of your hands, yet you did not turn to me, says the Lord. He is also said to smite with destruction. 1 Kings 14 verse 15. For the Lord will strike Israel, underline strike, that's that word, as a reed is shaken in the water. He will uproot Israel from this good land which he gave to their fathers, and will scatter them beyond the river, because they have made their wooden images, provoking the Lord to anger. 1 Chronicles 21 verse 7. And God was displeased with this thing, therefore he struck Israel, the line struck, same word, Isaiah 5 verse 25. Therefore the anger of the Lord is aroused against his people, he has stretched out his hand against them and stricken them, underline stricken, same word, and the hills tremble, their carcasses be as refuse in the midst of the street. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Amos 6 verse 11. For behold, the Lord gives a command, it will break the great house into bits, underline break, that's that word, and the little house into pieces. Now the next word here is Naga, N-A-G-A, Naga. Now this word is quite similar to Naka, which we just saw. It means to strike. Now but of course in Genesis chapter 12 verse 17, but the Lord plagued Pharaoh, the line plagued, same word, and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. Now the next word is Pakad, P-A-Q-A-D. Now this word literally means to visit, okay, to visit. Now it's quite interesting because Pakad can be used both positively and negatively. Now it is used positively to mean to visit with kindness, describing a gracious visit of God. Genesis 21 verse 1, and the Lord visited Sarah, underline visited, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. Genesis 50 verse 24, and Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying, but God will surely visit you, underline visit, and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Verse 25, that same chapter. Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, underline visit, and you shall carry up my bones from here. Psalm 106 verse 4. It says, remember me, O Lord, with the favor you have toward your people. O visit me, underline visit, with your salvation. Jeremiah 27. Verse 22, they shall be carried to Babylon, and there they shall be until the day that I visit them. Underline visit, same word, says the Lord. Then I'll bring them up and restore them to this place. Jeremiah 29 verse 10, for thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you. Underline visit, same word, and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. Then it can also be used in a negative sense to mean punish. Okay, the word pakad. Exodus 34, 6-7. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers, underline visiting, that's that word, upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. Jeremiah 6 verse 15. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall at the time I punish, underline punish, as that word, them. They shall be cast down, says the Lord. Jeremiah 49 verse 8. Flee, turn back, dwell in the depths, O inhabitants of Dedan, for I will bring the calamity of Esau upon him, the time that I will punish him, underline punish, same word. Jeremiah 50 verse 31. Behold, I am against you, O most holy one, says the Lord God of hosts, for your day has come, the time that I will punish you, underline punish, same word. So the Bible is clear on this matter. God does punish. He does smite. Okay? But what exactly does this refer to? We must let the Bible explain its own terminologies. Okay? When the Bible says water, for instance, let it explain what it means. When it says bread, Okay, let it explain. When it says tar, let it explain what it means, what it refers to. Do not attempt using your 21st century understanding of words to comprehend a book written several centuries before your existence. Okay, the Bible oftentimes uses words in ways which are quite different from today's usages. Now, what is God's punishment according to scripture? Now, Jeremiah 46 is a text that explains this very clearly. See verse 25 as we close. It says, the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, says, behold, I will bring punishment, underline that, I will bring punishment on Ammon of Noah and Pharaoh and Egypt with their gods and their kings, Pharaoh and those who trust in them. Now, punishment here translates pakad, the word that we just saw, which has to do with a visit. Not a literal visit, but a metaphoric one, okay, whereby a man is punished. The Jews would say his sins have been visited. Do you follow that? When a man is punished for his sins. Now, how are Ammon, Pharaoh, and Egypt punished here? Verse 26 tells us, it says, and I will deliver them, underline that, very key, deliver them into the hand of those who seek their lives, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and the hand of his servants. Afterward, it shall be inhabited as in the days of old, says the Lord. So, how he punishes is to deliver. Do you follow that? Now, the word deliver translates Natan, N-A-T-H-A-N, okay, Natan. It means to permit, okay, to permit. So, the text can be better read this way. I will permit them into the hand of those who seek their lives. So, this is God's punishment. Obviously, the punishment here is a withdrawal of protection. Because they reject God, he can no longer help them. Okay? So their enemies, the Babylonians, will then be able to invade their land. So God respects human choices. Okay? He wants to save his people, but would not force that salvation on them. Now those who refuse him, refuse his saving power also. So everywhere the Old Testament speaks of God punishing, it is simply a permission, not an actual punishment. He is doing nothing, okay? He has let his people be. Do you follow that? And their own sins destroy them. So yes, God does punish, but his punishment is not what many think it is. He does nothing to punish. He simply lets men be. Man is responsible for the consequences of his own actions. Did you learn? Lift your hands, give him praise. Thank him, a people from hell.